Yeah, we're in the book of Revelation. If you're newer to our church, it's a great time to be coming because you're going to learn the book of Revelation. You're going to learn all about Jesus coming and what the Bible says about the last days. The whole next year, we'll be talking about prophecy updates and just sharing all that the book of Revelation brings to light. And so we just finished chapter 4. And if you've been listening to me, you know that chapter 4 is probably my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. So you're not going to get me out of there quickly. Even though we finished it, I'm going to circle back and just talk about deeply thankful today. And then there's one more message out of chapter 4 that we read about the church casting crowns. And you've heard of that band called Casting Crowns. That's where they get their name from. And what is that all about? What are crowns? Who gets them? Is it important that we have them? Will you have crowns that you're casting at the Lord's feet? We're going to take next Sunday and talk all about what are these crowns? What does it mean to cast our crowns before the throne of God? But let's pull up chapter 4, verse 8. And we studied through the whole chapter last week. And then it's pretty neat because chapters 4 and 5 are actually my favorite chapters. And we're going to be in chapter 5 leading up to Christmas. So we're going to go from the glorious light in heaven to the glorious light of heaven coming to earth on Christmas Eve. So just incredible passages we're in. But we read of these four living creatures. They're called seraphim in the Old Testament and cherubim. If you've ever sang that song, Holy, 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 you sing about the cherubim and seraphim, each having six wings, and it's very unusual that they're full of eyes around, which, you know, at surface reading, you're like, what? How can you even picture that? And sometimes we're so taken back by the description that it's hard to let it minister to us, but the way God created these beings is they are able to fully perceive who he is. And the more clearly you perceive who God is, the more you're going to worship. That becomes just a powerful message. They're full of eyes around and within. And we said last week they have tremendous insight. They do not rest day or night, saying, and they're worshiping in Trinity, we learned last week, holy, holy, holy. Right? And so last week we learned what is worship. It's just responding to God. Everything you know about God, it's meant to cause you to respond to God. And they were taken back by his holiness. They were taken back by how almighty, how powerful God is. You're just taken back by God's presence, how he's eternal, who is and who was and is to come. This is worship. Everything you learn about God should cause you to worship. And whenever the living creatures, and here we're looking at verse 9, whenever they give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And we'll read verse 10 in a minute. But let's just isolate glory, honor, and thanks. This is review from last week. We talked about glory speaks of God's splendor and majesty. So this is what worship is. We acknowledging how your splendor, your majesty, your greatness. Honor speaks of his great value and worth. This God, how valuable you are. And thanks, the thanks is referencing a deep thankfulness and gratitude. So because of the time of the year we're in, we're going to just hone in on that last word, thanks. Giving thanks, thankfulness is a heavenly concept. It comes from heaven. It comes from those who know God the clearest. And if you know God clearly, you're going to give him thanks. Your life is going to be full of thanksgiving. And the next verse, and we'll come back to being deeply thankful, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. And we learned last week, the 24 elders speaks of the church in heaven, and they seem to be provoked here. At least that's the way I read it. If the angels are worshiping, we should be worshiping more. Right? Jesus didn't die for the angels. God didn't die for the angels. He died for you. If they're worshiping, it should cause you to worship more. That's what we're reading about. And so the worship going on day and night in heaven involves giving God glory, understanding his great worth, your eyes being open to who God is, and thanking him. And so we have this night, it's a deep thankfulness. We have this night called Thankful. Right? So next Saturday night, and it actually is overlapping 30 years of Saturday night prayer meetings here. So you think about that. For 30 years, every single Saturday night, your church has had a prayer meeting. And that's been the heartbeat of this church. Everything good happening. Last week, first service, 2 people got saved. Last week, second service, 5 people got saved. Last week, 5 people got baptized. The week before, 5 people got baptized. The week before, 5 people got baptized. Why is that happening? Like, we're a church that prays. And out of those prayer meetings on Saturday night, just life is pulsating. God is moving. And so this coming Saturday night, 30 years we've been praying. It does seem right that it'd be on Saturday night that we would just come together. It's a whole family night. It's an hour and 15 minutes. And we're gonna be thankful to God. The leaders of the church are going to be on stage thanking God. We're going to worship and thank God. The kids, we're going to invite them to come up on stage and thank God. So let's just talk about a deep thankfulness. And it's when we read about thankfulness in the Bible, first of all, and I'll bring a few things before you as we isolate this concept that's going on in heaven about being thankful. Thankfulness, the first thing we want to see is God's will. We're all interested. What's God's will for my life? I mean, that's one of the things I get asked the most. People have questions about God's will. Thankfulness is God's will for every true believer. And I'm going to bring a scripture up before you that most likely you've read it before. But we have to read it over and over and over again. It's amazing how every single time you read it, it kind of, in a fresh way, for me anyways, it just hits me. And let's pull that verse up. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. What gets me is that the bottom, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I want to know God's will for my life. Well, rejoice always. And it's not just rejoice always, because Paul would even say, Paul was in prison and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Sometimes we picture the writers of the Bible like they're just like super beings and they're thrown in prison. And what do they do in prison? They just start rejoicing because I know God's will. And I doubt that that was the case for Paul. I'm almost certain Paul probably hit such a low. But then he realized there was joy in the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. There's always joy in the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. This is the will of God for you. Are you in Christ Jesus? The Lord wants you to learn as you wake up to talk to him. In the shower, talk to him. On your commute, talk to him. The hardest things going on in life, you're talking to the Lord. The things that stress you out the most, the things that bring you the most joy. I remember on my daughter's wedding nights, like the whole gathering at our house after their wedding nights and just being out on the driveway, walking, just, you know, talking to God in the highest moments. And we talked to God in the lowest moments. We learned to just always be carrying on a conversation, short prayers of help. I need you. I can't do it without you. I feel so empty. I feel so lost, you know. Even expressing to God our anger. And that we're upset. You know what God calls a prayer when someone's angry with him? A prayer. Right? We just learn to pray without ceasing. And here's what we're isolating. In everything, give thanks. Is that really possible? In everything? Yeah, you can. No matter what's going on, you can be thankful. God, there's always things to be thankful for. In the hardest, in the best times. And so, doesn't that just hit you? Like, this is the will of God. I remember one time, I think I was getting my hair cut, and someone just on the wall, there was a plaque. And I remember just reading the plaque, like, well, that is not me. And this is God's will for my life. It just, you know, it just hit me. It hits me every time. Thankfulness is not optional. right? It's God's expressed will for you. I'm very interested in God's will. I want to find God's will. And the verses that tell me, like there's another verse that says that your sexual purity is the will of God. That gets my attention, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4. And we'll read again more about thankfulness. Thankfulness is evidence, secondly, of a spirit-filled life. Are you spirit-filled? I like to think I am. Or are you a thankful person? The more spirit-filled you are, the more you're expressing thankfulness. Let's look at Ephesians 5:18. And don't be drunk with wine. We all need to hear that. That's wrong. Not drinking is not wrong to have a glass of wine or a glass of champagne or a beer, but drunkenness in the Bible is sin. And do not be drunk with wine, in which you're just wasting your life, is what dissipation means. But the opposite, instead of being controlled by alcohol, be controlled, be filled. And this language is that your whole life you're to be continually being filled. It's really at the center of your prayer life. You want the Spirit of God to be moving in your life. Should be one of the things you're praying every day and every time you pray almost. Like, Spirit of God, fill me, help me, strengthen me, use me. And this is what it looks like when someone is filled with the Spirit. There's a couple things. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. There's melody in your heart. There's a song in your heart to God. Number two, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to come back to that. And the third thing in this text is you're willing to submit to one another. You're not stubborn. You're not prideful. It's not your way or the highway. But you yield. You're willing to yield. Wisdom from above, James says, you're willing to yield. And you're willing to submit to one another. Hey, I think you're right. I think you have God's heart here and I'm going to yield. But we want to just focus on giving thanks always. Well, this is harder than in everything. Is it really possible to give thanks for all things? What would that be declaring? God, you're on the throne. You're in control. I don't know why you're letting it touch me. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't want to be in this. But I want to thank you. It's so powerful. I want to thank you even for this. Because there's so many things you could be doing, causing me to become a different person, to go deeper, to know you in this, and you're changing me. And there's so many things that start to happen when you're thankful. It really is a maturity and a work of the Spirit that can bring us to this place. Spirit-filled Christians are thankful Christians. I like to think of myself Spirit-filled. Well, are you thankful? The more Spirit-filled you are, the more thankfulness will flood your relationship with God. Like the throne of God is being flooded with glory and honor and thanks. Number three, thankfulness is a central part of our prayer life. So again, all we're doing right now is we're seeing this thankfulness in heaven. These beings that have eyes, they're full of eyes and they see God perfectly. What do? They thank God. And we're just looking at together how central thankfulness is to our knowing God. And the name of the title is A Deep Thankfulness. Right, words can be shallow, but what we're reading about is a deep thankfulness. And let's look at Philippians 4:6. Maybe you're thinking, I knew he was going to go to that text when he said it's central to prayer. Be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything, it could be translated. But in everything, rather than worrying, pray. Supplication means telling God what you need. With thanksgiving. It's interesting. It's in the very center of this robust passage about prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I don't understand where the answer is going to come from. I don't know what's going to change. I don't see anything happening, but I now have peace because I prayed. And then that word guard, it speaks of a Roman garrison. It's like if you could picture a Roman garrison of soldiers, they're all around your mind and your heart, and they're protecting you from worrying. But we'll just go back to where it says, with thanksgiving. And we understand that thankfulness is just, it's central. Like prayer's happening at the center, there's a thankfulness to God. Thanksgiving's we even see it's a key part of turning anxiety into peace. It's kind of key in that prescription. Don't worry. Well, okay, I don't want to worry. Well, pray. Okay, I'm praying. But it's interesting as you start thanking God. I don't know how you're working, but God, I thank you. I know you're in control. I know you have something for me. You have someone for me. You're doing something. I'm thankful to you. I'm thankful you're with me. I'm thankful my wife's with me. I'm thankful for my friends that pray for me. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for how faithful you are. You know, the thanksgiving just rises to God when you allow it to. And it's a part of anxiety, we learn. Just an observation, isn't it? We know that verse, but it really is part of anxiety turning into peace. And then fourth, we'll see that Jesus modeled thankfulness to us. In John 6:11, we read of the feeding of the 5,000, and you know that story. He took the loaves, and before they all ate of this meal that God provided, Jesus models for us. You know, sometimes you get the Bible answer man questions. Is it biblical to pray before we eat, or is that just something Christians do? What's the answer? You should be able to answer that pretty quickly. What's the answer? Yeah, it's biblical. Jesus modeled for us, before you eat, thank God. One time I was with a lady, she was quite older, and I was a young Christian, and she was a rather large lady, but she had a great sense of humor. And I think I was in my teen years, newly saved, and I said, Lord, I just thank you, bless this food to my body. And she goes, no, I don't ask for any more food to be blessed to this body. And I remember I was just like, but you know, she was laughing and smiling. But it is biblical to thank God for the food. In fact, if you would let it, you know, 3 times a day, some of you eat like 5 or 6 times a day, you could be thanking God all day long. If you'd let the mealtime, not shallow, like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, but you know, yay God, not a shallow prayer. But if you would let it be really genuine, you could truly start finding lots of opportunity. Like, God, I really want to thank you. I'm stopping before I eat, and thank you for a couple things here before I eat. But Jesus modeled for us thankfulness. And I, you know, I'm stirred because it's not what the message is on, but I was stirred praying this morning. He distributed to them, to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. So I'm just stirred by that afresh this morning. Isn't it interesting that Jesus could have given the bread and the fish out to everybody? He didn't need to use the disciples. He could have just done it and given it. Probably would have been more efficient to do it that way. Would have brought just more focus to him. He alone is the one giving, but that's not how he chose to do it. Isn't that interesting? Because that's really central too. He wants to use you. Do you know that that there were no church buildings for the first 300 years of the church, and the church was spreading around the world? Do you know that there were no pulpits for the first 900 years, and the church spread around the world? There was no Bibles for the first 1,500 years. The common people didn't have Bibles, and the church was spreading around the globe. How did that happen? The Lord was using his people. And it's such a powerful, powerful thing when the Lord just is using every one of us to touch others. Do you realize how powerful that is? The Lord wants to use you. He's laid hold of you, not to just receive, but he wants to give to you, and you immediately are giving to others. He gives to you, you immediately are talking to others, sharing with others. He spoke to you in prayer, you're praying for others. He spoke to you from the word, you've got something to tell others about him. That's when the church is so powerful. Okay, that's another message. Should we come back? Let's come back to give thanks. Sorry, that was just in me that I couldn't escape it. The fifth thing we see, thanksgiving is the right response to our salvation. Right? Response. It's the right response. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his... You read it. Right? This gift is so great, nobody can describe it. Makes it hard to be a pastor when you can't even describe how good the free gift is. We don't have the words. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. Paul said it's never entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Right? What if the gospel was greater than any of us even have ever conceived? And the truth is, it is, and we should be very, very thankful to God. Thanksgiving is the right response to our salvation. You probably think of that Luke 17, the story of Luke 17, 15 of the leper, 10 of them. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face. We've been talking about that's as low as a human being can go if you put your face to the ground. Fell down on his face. In fact, that would be maybe a challenge for you. Maybe this Thanksgiving, I don't know if maybe you won't even remember it, but maybe God would allow you to get down on your face to express a deep thankfulness to God. This man fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And I don't have the verse to put up there, but do you remember what Jesus said? I should have put it up there. I didn't have it. Remember what Jesus said? Little rumblings. What did he say? Were there not 10 of you? Didn't I touch 10? Didn't I heal 10? And only one of you has come back to me? So that's kind of the guilt I want to put on you for thankful night next Saturday. No, not guilt, but that's, right, that's the heart for thankful. We want to be those that return, and the loud voice just are glorifying God and giving him honor and giving him thanks. Thanksgiving, the sixth thing we see is Thanksgiving is a central part of worship. So every week we're worshiping corporately. It's central to private worship, corporate worship. Hebrews 13, 15, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. It's part of us being fruitful, that our lips are thanking God, praising God, thanking God. And we see here thankfulness, of course, you know, this thankfulness is not seasonal, but we learn that it's continual, right? Go back to the verse. Let us continually, right? In the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices. We don't offer animal sacrifices because Christ is the fulfillment of the sacrificial system. He died in our place once for all that he might bring us to God. But the sacrifice that we're able to bring is praise. That's fruit. You're being fruitful, and that involves giving thanks. And then we'll look at number 7, and there's just 8 as we finish this morning, this just deeper look at being thankful. Being unthankful is a sign of spiritual darkness. Right, we read in Romans 1, 21, although they knew God, So this is something probably worth explaining. The knowing God that's talking about here is that anyone who looks at creation from the micro to the macro, the intelligent conclusion is God designed this and God designed me. It's an unintelligent conclusion to think that this happened by chance, that it's random. It'd be like you stumbling upon a very sophisticated Apple Watch in a box, and you looked at it and you went, well, this probably just got here over billions of years. That's absurd. And it works, and it fits my wrist, and it tells time, and it has a calendar, and that's absurd. No one would conclude that unless you're taught to conclude that. And this is what this is talking about. Although they know God, they should know God. He has proven that he exists by the order and design and complexity. But they did not glorify him. Right? So this describes our culture. People that don't glorify God and they're not thankful. And what happens when you don't glorify God and you're not thankful? You become futile. What futile means to be empty. Your life is just so empty. It could also mean purposelessness. Your life becomes so purposeless if you don't glorify God and thank him. And their foolish hearts were darkened. So thankfulness becomes a sign of spiritual health. You're spiritually healthy if you're giving thanks. If you're unthankful, unthankfulness is a sign of the emptiness you're feeling. I feel so empty. Why do I feel so empty? Why am I so purposeless? Because you're not thankful to God. You're not expressing thankful to God. Unthankfulness is a sign of emptiness and foolishness, and it leads to a dark heart. It's interesting. I was looking up the antonym of thankfulness. And as you might think, okay, antonym. Sometimes to know the antonym helps you know what the true meaning of a word is. And you'd say, yeah, that's pretty easy. Thankful, unthankful. I understand what thankfulness is and what unthankfulness is. Another antonym of thankfulness is unresponsive. Like God deserves you to be thankful, but you're unresponsive. You don't give him thanks. Another antonym could be complaining, right? Instead of being thankful, instead of you're constantly thankful, there's constantly this complaint in your soul for what you don't have and what's not, and he's not doing what you want him to do, and he's not provided what you want him to provide, and you don't have the life you want him to have, and you complain. And then unthankfulness also becomes a sign of the last days, prophetically. It's a sign of the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous is interesting. It can mean hard, very hard. It could mean hard to endure. It can mean difficult. Some Bibles even translate it savage days. Do you think we're living in savage times? You know, in a lot of ways, we are living in savage times, and the days are going to get harder, and they're going to be harder and harder to endure. Why? And now you read of, this is both a description of the last days, and it's a description of R-rated movies that are the best movies out today. Almost every one of these sounds like a movie that people go to see. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. But we're looking just, there's that word, unthankful. Right? It's prophetic of the last days. People will live their lives and they'll thank Mother Earth. They'll thank the trees, but they won't thank God. And we read on of the description, unholy, unloving. We'll love you if you believe what I believe. But if you don't believe what I believe, we'll kill you. Right? Men will become unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Sounds like our political process right now. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is powerful. Having a form of godliness, like the people, it'll appear that they are, and talk of a type of relationship with God, but there's no power in their lives. Just go back to that word, unthankful, right? It's the last day. So we don't want to be that. We want to be the opposite. We don't want to be unresponsive. And that, again, we're having a night so that we're not unresponsive. We're just an hour of expressing our thankfulness to God. And then I just, as we finish this morning, I want to come back to that 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So the question for you, have you received that gift? Is it yours? What does a gift have to, what has to happen for the gift to be yours? Well, you got to open it. Have you opened the gift of salvation? Couple of verses and we'll finish. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So what does that mean? It means you've been working, you've been sinning, and what do you deserve to get a paycheck for? Death. That's what your life deserves, God gives you. Eternal death, separation from him for eternity. And that's a path every human being is on, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's free. And when we think of free, we think it doesn't cost anything. That's right. You can put your faith in Jesus and it doesn't cost you anything. You say, oh, is that right? It's free. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't be good enough for it. But free doesn't mean it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost you anything. It costs Jesus everything. How do I have this free gift? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ means Messiah. You've come to believe Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is his name. Jesus means God is salvation. That's why Jesus came. God became salvation for you, but the free gift only comes to you if he's your Lord. Apart from him being the Lord of your life, that gift isn't yours. And that would be a question to ask yourself, even as you look up there, am I going to be receiving a paycheck for death, or have I opened the gift of eternal life? And the last verse, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. One time I had Jehovah's Witnesses at my door, and I asked them, can you know that you're saved? And they said, no, not until our works are weighed, because they're working to be saved. You say, oh, those Jehovah's Witnesses, I respect them. They bring that magazine to my house. They go into the neighborhoods. Yeah, they're enslaved. They're working so they can be saved. And I asked them, can you know that you're saved? And they said, no, not until our works are judged. And I said, okay, well, let's read it together. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we stopped there. I said, can you know that you're saved? And they said, no, not until my works are judged. Okay, let's read it again. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Can you know that you're saved? No, not until my works are judged. Okay, let's read it again. And you know, I did that like 9 times and they still said they couldn't be saved until their works were judged. But that's not what the scriptures teach. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, some people get uncomfortable when you say it's free, it's free, it's free, it doesn't cost you anything, and you can't work for it. That's true, but here's the balance. For we're his workmanship, or the Greek word poema, which is poem, piece of artwork, My favorite translation is masterpiece. You're his masterpiece, created in Christ. So are you created in Christ? Everyone here is created in God. You didn't just happen. You're not an accident. You're not a result of random chance. God created you, but have you come to Christ? Have you become you're not marred by sin, but you're created in Christ. You become a new creation. And look at this then. When that happens, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So rather than the works being on the end of, I got to be good enough to be saved, which none of us are, and you always feel condemned and beat up and failing, the works don't go before you're saved. The works follow salvation. This indescribable gift, I want to serve God. I want my life to count for him. And what is this? God prepared things beforehand that I should walk in them. That becomes our heart. Like, I don't want to miss anything God has for me. I want to serve him. I want to work, not to be saved, but it's a response. It's the right response. Let's stop here. And Lord, you're in... Indescribable gift. We're so thankful. Lord, we know we deserve sin to be judged. We know we deserve that sin would pay us a paycheck of death. But God, we're so thankful for those two words. We're so thankful, Lord, that your great love with which you've loved us. You draw us to Christ to be new and alive and working and serving you. Lord, we just think of how powerful your church could be if every one of us were part of the works that you have for us. Not the works you have for someone else, but the works you have for us. And I'm just gonna allow a minute. Could you just maybe say a prayer for the next minute? Do you wanna walk in the works that God has for you? Why don't you just bow your head? Maybe you could just talk to the Lord about, do you want those works? Do you wanna miss them, or do you wanna walk in them? Maybe you could just express yourself to God. And maybe for you, is it possible it comes back to that there is a gift of eternal life? And you've kind of always known there is. But if you're really honest, you haven't opened that yet. It hasn't changed you yet. You're not really a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, all things new. That hasn't happened. The Bible says God's Spirit, if you're saved, is in you, bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. But that the Spirit's right now, he's near to you, but he's on the outside of your life, trying to point you to Jesus. And that might just be one person here in the service. Right? You might just be that one. The Bible's all about the one. It's the most powerful message. Jesus always went after one. The whole New Testament is Jesus, one woman at a time, one fisherman at a time, one tax collector at a time. And Jesus said that he told a story that when one sinner repents, the angels are rejoicing. There's joy in the presence of the angels. That is, God is the one who's rejoicing. When one sinner repents, you can't be saved until you repent. And repent just means that you have a change of mind. and you're willing to turn from your sin, and you want Jesus, and you want the gift he has for you. You want the life he has for you. And it's miraculous because the Holy Spirit doesn't work where I don't want sin. I don't want to be drunk. I don't want to be immoral. I don't want to complain. I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to be selfish anymore. I want to serve. And is it possible that there's a miracle happening, that repentance is in your heart this morning? And you could tell the Lord that. Lord, I repent of my sins. Jesus, you're the Messiah. You came to save me. That could save you this morning if you'd pray that. Jesus, you're the Messiah. I know you came to save me, and I want to make you the Lord of my life, the King of my life. You could say that right where you sit. Be the King of my life. And then you might be that one that you've been so close. In fact, you've been on a journey for a long time to get right here, and you would pray these powerful words, Holy Spirit, fill me. You pray that. If this is a saving moment, Holy Spirit, fill me and change me. And let's just all pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me. We're to continually be filled. Let's pray that, church. Holy Spirit, fill me. However I came in this morning, I want to leave just full of the Holy Spirit. And let's just do this, full of the Holy Spirit. Just let a deep thankfulness rise to God. We're going to worship a little bit longer, and you can let a deep thankfulness, glory, honor, and thanksgiving rise to God. But again, could we just have our heads bowed for just another, just the closing. If you're someone that there was saving repentance, and you said the name of the Lord Jesus to save you, and you prayed that prayer that the Holy Spirit would fill you and change you this morning, would you lift up your hand? Just with everyone's heads bowed, I want to pray for you. The miracle of salvation is coming to your life this morning. Is that you? Just hold it up right where you sit. Yeah, Pastor Rob, I did pray that. There is repentance in my heart. I repented. I called on the name of the Lord Jesus. Yep, beautiful. Isn't that so special? Just thank the Lord as you raise your hand. Two of you, two women, both just pouring out. Just tell the Lord, thank you for saving me this morning. Yeah, one of the young women, I saw you coming in this morning when I was at the door. I was just drawn to seeing you come to church this morning. I didn't know your name, but so thankful you came. Anyone else this morning? It's a question, and this is where you don't want to now shrink back. If you were repenting and calling on Jesus to be your Lord, and you were praying the Holy Spirit to fill you, then take that next step. Raise your hand and go, you know what? I did pray that. I am asking that. I am on a journey, and I do want to cross that line today. Anyone else? Let's just applaud those two women that raised their hands. So beautiful. Yeah, and we're thankful for that, Lord. Let's stand up this morning. We're thankful for how you're moving. We're thankful for touching these two women. And just we ask as a church, pour your Spirit out on them. Give them a love for you. Give them a love for your word. Lord, let this become their community. Let them be known here. Provide a house church for them here, Lord. Provide church family around them. And help this to be a place where they can be discipled, Lord, and grow. And even be baptized. Alex is going to lead us. We're going to take communion as part of our thankfulness this morning. So you can come take the bread, which speaks of the body of Jesus dying on the cross for you. They're stacked on top of each other, and then there's gluten-free in the middle in the little packets. But you can take the bread, you can take the cup. The cup speaks of his blood that cleanses you from all your sin. and you can just express thankfulness to God, deep thankfulness before you partake this morning. Come on up. And if you raise your hand, by all means, come. Come take the bread and the cup. Take it back to your seat. And we're going to worship. You know, there may be something that's in the way of you and God. Maybe something that's quenching God's spirit. There may be something that's not right in your life. And the Lord wants you to talk to Him about that. There may be anger in your heart. There may be unforgiveness that you need to talk to God about before you can partake. But then whenever you're ready, you can partake. Alex, go ahead and lead us.